Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hello and welcome to Two in the Think Tank, the show where we come up with five sketch ideas, and if you've made it this far, we know you've got the right stuff.
Oh, you've got it. You're our kind of people, or you can't find the stop button.
That is our kind of people.
But let me give you a tip. Up the pause button will do.
Throw the phone out the window.
Most podcast apps don't even have a stop button. You actually can't stop the podcasts.
That's really interesting.
You know, and that ABBA song can't stop the music. It's probably about playing music through a podcast app.
It was very, very prescient. Would have been a little bit more accurate if it was can't stop the podcasts.
It probably isn't an ABBA song, actually. Can't stop the music. It sounds more kind of American disco.
Yeah, theirs is thank you for the music.
Stop the music.
That's ABBA, yeah. Right? Thank you for the music. ABBA is more like, I can't imagine why you would want to stop the music.
Exactly. They're playing it on a device that doesn't even have a pause button.
Is this a product that there is any reason to sell to people? You know, it's a stereo that you can't turn off and you can't adjust the volume.
No, like that. Keep going.
Feels like something that, you know, that a purist would be interested in. Right, those kinds of people who are like, I listen to full albums, you know, listen to them all the way through.
There's also people who like get really uncomfortable if you stop a song partway through it. You ever seen that? Scrunched.
I know,
face,
but I can imagine. Sounds just like a type of person. Yeah.
No, but I've at least encountered at least two, and one of them also really believed that in the purity of the human voice.
What does that mean?
Like, you know, singing has some kind of higher level
spiritual
thing.
Spiritual power?
I don't know about spiritual, but, you know, it's just it's a beauty, and it should only be used in certain ways. It shouldn't be used to replace instruments, other instruments. So you shouldn't be like... And then another person shouldn't be going like that, and then building a song with just those bits.
It sounds like an intro to Two in the Think Tank. They would hate
it does. Yeah,
they would hate this
Bjork.
Show. Alistair.
It actually is.
Do you think anyone ever said to Bjork, the Bjork store called and they're running out of you? I mean, if they didn't, because she was big in the 90s, and
that's
so
true.
And so was Seinfeld, and it feels like.
Do you think we should post that when Bjork dies?
All right, I'm going to set a reminder in my phone.
When Bjork dies.
I'm going to try something, Alistair. Hang on. Bear with me. Hey, Siri, when Bjork dies, remind me to post the Bjork store called They're Running Out of You.
Done.
Wow.
These things are getting good.
Wow.
I genuinely was not expecting. I think we might have just reached the singularity.
Yeah. done. No questions. Just let me just double check what you meant. Something has definitely, like, some kind of trigger has been set up in your phone.
I dread that ping one day.
Oh, it's gonna be sad. It's gonna be so sad.
Yeah, but you know, with reluctant thumbs, I will post what needs to be posted.
It also means that you are forced into, like, Apple loyalty for the next 40 years.
Yeah, but that was going to happen anyway.
Was it?
You know, I was an Apple guy back in the 90s. When
were you?
Yeah, when it wasn't a, you know, it wasn't a cool thing to be. Wasn't a company on the up. Like,
it wasn't.
There was a pall of sadness over the Apple Corporation. And, you know, Dad used to get, like, Mac user magazines, and they got slimmer every month as the Apple Corporation withered. The Apple withered on the Apple vine.
Just as they were firing Steve Jobs.
They fired Steve Jobs. They made some bad choices. And then Steve Jobs was back, and suddenly, big turnaround for the team.
Was it right after he created Pixar and then they launched Toy Story and it was a big success that they were like, all right, we'll have him back? Or did he?
We'll have him back. We like what this guy does with animated kids' films.
Yeah.
You brought us around, big guy. I mean, you don't think CEOs, I don't tend to think of CEOs as being all that important a lot of the time. I feel like I could do whatever they do. But he is an example of someone who was demonstrably good at whatever it was that he did.
Yeah.
Achieving the results that you would want for somebody in that position if you wanted that.
I think it's crazy that the model for Pixar has not been repeated several times, right? Because the model seems to be is create a good story. And then and then make the movie.
Yes, you've nailed it, Alistair. It is very funny to me that that has not been replicated in either animation or anywhere else in Hollywood.
Yeah,
it seems like maybe
Disney has kind of got some of it now, but it's possibly because they've just worked with people from Pixar.
Well, they bought Pixar. They were like, we don't know what it is you guys are doing, but we want some of that.
What is this thing, you know, where you make sure that every bit is good and, you know, that's really interesting. I'm just, it's wild. Your process.
Things happen for a reason and the characters are plausible. You know, they're consistent in some way.
And there's bits where you feel things, you know, and then those bits are relevant later on. You know, oh, okay. All right. Well, we'll give it a go.
Yeah.
I don't see why that would be necessary.
Whatever voodoo you're doing behind the scenes to make people like these films. Alistair, is anything that we've said so far a sketch idea?
Well, I'm still interested in this device that you can't turn off. I think there is something pure about it.
Like genuinely, there are these companies that are like, we're making a phone that's just a phone, right? And it's basic and it's black and white and you don't have to make choices about these other things and it just does that, right?
Yeah.
And I think that there are also, leaving aside the fact that you could just turn off those functions on your regular phone, or you could just get an existing, like, cheap Nokia, which would do all of it for free. This is a very expensive version of that. The amazing technology feature about this is it costs exactly the same as a high-end smartphone, but it does nothing that does.
But it's a radio. Like, probably maybe one of those radios that people, you know, sometimes you encounter somebody on the street who's just listening to the radio and they're walking around and they're listening to it through a speaker.
Yeah.
Maybe sometimes they're pushing a trolley or something.
What kind of a trolley are you thinking, Alistair?
You know what? I was actually thinking one of those grandma ones.
Oh.
You know, one of those grandma ones that has the kind of like the leather or the material inside
bag.
Of it. And yeah. then, yeah, inside of it, that then within it you put other bags or other things.
Let's devise a trolley problem, a hypothetical trolley problem, but it's just based on different types of trolleys, and that's one of the trolleys, a grandma trolley. I'm not sure what that would reveal about human psychology, but there's something there.
Now, how are we marketing this thing?
I think it's crazy to me that it's set to one channel. Yes.
Mm. It's set to one channel. It's set to one volume. It's on a speaker, and you can't. There's no off button. It's just simple. There's not even one button.
We've talked in the past about musicians and about how they have a way in which they intend the music to be heard. And we've talked about audiophiles and ways to make your experience closer to the artist's vision. But it's crazy to me that a music, which is basically just a bunch of sounds, one of the most dominant features of sound is the volume. Mm. And it seems surprising to me that an artist, a musical artist, wouldn't have an intended volume that they want their music to be listened to.
Oh, yeah.
Also, of course, when they put together an album, they're expecting you to listen to the whole album in a row. So this is just a device that you put in the CD, runs on CD, and it plays the entire album at one volume all the way through.
But then is it forced to be a certain distance from your head?
Yeah, that's right. You strap it to your head, and there's a pole that comes out that keeps it a certain distance from your head. That is the, and it doesn't, you don't turn it on and off, because there's that way there's less distractions, there's less for you to worry about. There's too much choice as it is.
I think I'm getting distracted in this about it becoming about an artist's will, and also the fact that you put in CDs, I think overcomplicates it. I think the idea is they're marketing it to that group of people who just are sick of technology being too complicated, right? And they're just like, aren't you even sick of companies that try and sell you a product telling you that it's simple to use because it's got big buttons? Well, this one doesn't even have any buttons. It does what you want all the time, and it can't be stopped.
Can't be stopped.
You know, that means that there's never going to be a pit where you'll be like, oh, how do I turn it back on? It is on. It's always on. Mm. Mm-hmm. If it's not on, it's not there.
That's right. That's our slogan. If it's not on, it's not there. Yeah, I like it. It's the music cube. And
the music cube.
It just goes. Just plays. I think that's something, Alistair.
Okay, it's written down.
How about this? All right, this is a totally different idea, and this is something that we were almost about to talk about before we started the podcast.
Yeah.
But it's you're in the delivery room. Your beloved is giving birth. Okay, and I don't know where this goes. But I do like the idea that the doctor receiving your offspring starts just pulling out a whole bunch of scrap metal. Now, I don't know if this is a sketch idea.
Yeah.
But I think it's potentially a good sort of a horror film scene or something in a bad dream. Like, it's a good dream idea, I think.
Yeah.
That and they're just now up these sort of chunks of rusty metal, these bent and things. You can't quite recognize what they were, but they obviously had some kind of a function at some point.
Something, at some point, it seems like an old car bumper's coming out, one of those sort of like, they look like stainless steel or something like that coming out.
Maybe
sawed in half.
Yeah.
Now, this won't happen in it. This is a bad suggestion, but they say she's crowning, and then they pull out like a king's hat.
a crown, a king's hat. Mm-hmm. I love, yeah, Alistair, that your commitment to comedy rules is such that it wouldn't allow you to say the word crown twice in the sentence.
Yeah, I know,
and it led to you saying the phrase king's hat,
yeah,
which
but that
I really like.
Yeah, well, the king's hat does appear in a Paul F. Tompkins bit, so, you know, I can't be entirely responsible for that.
Well, this brings me to a new sketch idea, right?
Hmm.
The King of Australia, he's got a broad-brimmed crown, possibly with corks hanging off it. They're not corks, but they are like rubies, yeah, that dangle, yeah, on a bit of string and keep the, yeah, flies off. The King, yeah, of Australia. The crown jewels.
Yep. Yeah, I'm writing it down because it's already,
thank you,
just dumb enough.
Thanks, Alistair. And he drinks Crown Lager, one of the worst beers in Australia that for a big portion of the early 2000s somehow passed itself off as a premium beer.
Yeah.
Just with confidence.
It was true confidence.
I don't know if they even exist anymore.
No, it definitely does. There's some people who, I remember somebody telling me about high rollers, and they worked as a croupier or something like that in the at the casino, and that they had these days where they were with like high rollers, where high rollers would be coming in and they would be like people from, you know, like China or something like that, and clearly mob connected in some way, and they'd be throwing, you know, big wads of cash on the table and things like that, and they would say, "We're drinking nothing but crownies," and so just bring in cases of crownies like that, and this is people living the high life.
I think that's really good, and I think we should start marketing our comedy in the same way. We'll market our comedy as somehow premium.
Okay? Connected,
maybe we'll wear little crowns.
Yeah, that's
when
good.
We perform.
That's a good idea.
Nobody's doing that, by the way.
Yeah, no, you're right. Wait, I mean, Jughead used to wear like some kind of crown?
Oh, it was a jester's hat, comics? I think. It's the opposite. Hey? That's the opposite of a crown. It was a little jester's hat, wasn't it?
No, I thought...
Oh, maybe it was a crown. Yeah.
Jughead.
Right. It was a weird little crown. I'm just looking up Crown Lager on danmurphys.com.
Yeah? Oh,
it's got
how much
good
they go
reviews.
For?
It's got good reviews on the... on the, yeah, Dan Murphy's website. It's got 59 pages of reviews for Crown Lager.
Yeah, people love it.
5 stars everywhere. An excellent lager. A great beer. Tastes great. The right amount of alcohol. And priced right. See, that's
how much is
premium
it? How much
print.
Is it again?
Look, I'm looking, trying to find the price. $23 for a six pack.
Wow.
That's insane.
That is insane.
That's way too much.
Oh, but then, you know, from Booze Bud, you can get a case for $54.49.
Okay. Well, that's not too bad.
Liquorland for $54.
I tell you what,
first choice is selling them for $50. Yeah.
I'm looking at the bottle, and it's kind of making me want one. They do kind of look classy.
They look premium. They look like they're connected to the monarchy.
Mm. Anyway, that's Crown Lager for you.
Every time I looked at them, I always thought they looked chocolatey in some kind of way. Like it was
they've got a real Ferrero Rocher vibe.
Yeah, but they taste just like VB.
Yeah. Yep.
I wouldn't be surprised if it was the exact same beer.
I similarly would be unsurprised. I don't know enough about beer to tell you whether or not technically a bitter and a lager are fundamentally different products. But with shit beers like that, I honestly can't tell the difference between any of them. They all taste exactly the same.
Yeah, sort of underage drinking. They just
taste
like underage
that.
Drinking.
Yeah, they taste like being 17 again. 17 again, right? That movie with Matthew Perry and Zac Efron. But nothing changes about his body. The only thing that changes is his tolerance for alcohol and his preference for pre-mixed drinks. That's the only thing. He has some Freaky Friday scenario where he gets the alcoholic proclivities of a 17-year-old. And then we see how that affects his life.
A Freaky Friday scenario where you swap bodies with your younger self.
Mm.
I know this is dumb. This is probably nothing. But if you swapped bodies with your younger self through time, and then your younger self was in your later body. So,
yes.
As you make decisions, I think in the past, it changes the life for the future version. But then the future version has the young person in who's making the bad decisions. So they're kind of re-changing your life as well. So that when you get back into it, you have to live with the consequences of what they've done. I don't know if there's anything in that.
Well, I think that also, if it was a younger version of you in your future body, then, you know, in a linear sense of yourself, things that you do in their past affects, or things that happen to them in the future, this might be already what you said, but things that happen to them that affect their mind in the future, then obviously, because they grow up to be you, where you're in their body in the past, affect you, your personality and your self in the past. But then things that you do in the past as an old person affect what their life, as you say, their life station, their situation is in the future.
Yeah.
And you would end up in this sort of situation where you're taking revenge on yourself. You know, if that young future you, if you somehow could separate yourselves in one way where you're aware of what's happened and you're aware of the changes in yourself.
Yeah, being made, the changes are being made,
right? Then you might try and inflict preemptive revenge on yourself from both ends of the spectrum. For the things that you're doing. This is also assuming for some reason that you don't like yourself.
Well, I mean, the idea of your younger self being your own villain and that you're battling each other through time, through just making bad decisions to punish the other one.
Yeah, without ever meeting yourself. It's not that kind of thing.
If you kind of saw the changes fade in, like, you know, maybe they're a different color at first and then they fade in, even if it's just like, you know, if some of it would be in brain, some of it would be in the real world. You're like, in brain, son of a bitch.
I don't know that people use the phrase in brain, and I think it's a good term that will definitely come into the parlance a little bit more going forward.
In brain changes.
Yeah, we're not talking about thought or the self. We're talking about in brain.
Yeah,
and then off brain. We talk about everything in the rest of the world. It doesn't have it in your own head is off brain. Or out brain. Out brain.
Do you think it's cool if I write that down? Wait.
Yeah. Preemptive self revenge time loop film, Freaky Friday.
Past
scenario.
What'd you say? Preemptive?
Preemptive self revenge time loop. Freaky Friday type.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, scenario.
Great. I get Freaky Friday with past self, preemptive self-revenge time loop. Ah, we'll remember all of that.
Yeah, that's going to make a perfect sense. Don't you worry.
In what scenario would Australia have a king, do you think? You know?
Yeah, well, I think, you know, we could elect one, but that doesn't really feel like a king to me. I think the only way that it could happen is through charisma, where somebody just slowly starts assuming that role and we like them so much that we just accept it, and they sort of organically, and bypassing anything to do with the Constitution, they just slowly take on that role. And we, because of an overwhelming majority of us feeling a strong affection for them, we allow them to get away with it. And even when they start to do things like, you know, sentence people to death and say, you know, call for people to be executed, even though it's not legal and it's not enforceable by the law, such is our warmth towards them as a people that we just do what they say.
Well, I think if it was a cultural reimagining, a historical reimagining of what happened, and say in one of the first, in either the first fleet or the, you know, maybe one of the second fleets or whatever it is, one of the monarch's children came along, and then, but had some kind of disagreement with their family, and pretty quickly took over and kind of was like, actually, I'm going to run this on our own. And the people that he was murdering would be people who were like still, you know, still loyal to the home country's monarchs.
Yeah.
And so he established a new kingdom. And also, you know, would be really nice. He was really good to the First Nations people of Australia.
Oh, that is nice. Yeah.
You know,
it's a very alternative history, and I think that's interesting.
Yeah. And then worked well with him, had a treaty really early on. Still, you know, obviously you're still colonizing a country, not a great thing still, but and then we're like, yeah, king.
Cork. I think it would also be fun to do a film, you know, like movies like King Ralph. You know about King Ralph?
Yeah.
John Goodman?
Yeah.
Turns out to be next in line for the throne of England?
Yeah.
I'd like somebody to discover something. John Candy, sure.
Oh, no, maybe, maybe you're right. Maybe it was John Goodman. Fuck. Sorry.
It's all good, Al. Something happens in... somebody discovers something in our Constitution. There is some sort of legal loophole, whatever. Something is discovered where we realize that we actually do have a king, right, in Australia. Yeah. And we discover who they are, and they're just some guy. But that the institution, it turns out, is valid. It's constitutionally there. They do have the rights of a king in Australia, and they are elevated to this position. So it's not only them discovering that they have this role, but it's also everyone else in Australia coming to terms with the fact that we actually are our own monarchy, and we do have a royal family, and they are just a bunch of fucks, you know.
Bunch of fucks.
But they are what do you suddenly think, now
in,
the royals.
In your mind, what makes them a bunch of fucks?
They're just grubs, probably. Okay. You know, yeah. Some of them are all right.
Do you mean poor?
It's a look. Yeah, that's what I mean.
Is what you mean poor? Yeah. I mean, I also thought, you know, what if there was the first king that was a drag queen? I don't know if that's anything. It's the first, I mean, because there probably hasn't been a drag queen king before.
Mm. Okay, hang on.
So it's a man who dresses as a woman.
Yes.
But that man is
the king.
But that person is the king. And then I think when they, in their drag queen character, they dress up as the king.
In their drag queen character, they dress up as the king.
Yeah. So it's a man pretending to be a woman, pretending to be king, but they actually are king. So it looks like a woman pretending to be a man being king, but it's actually a man pretend to be a woman who actually is king, dressed as a king.
I actually think that a movie about a king who is a drag queen is a very good idea. And I think you could call the movie... I think you could call the movie The Queen of Kings, and you'd get a lot of people coming in who think maybe it's a remake of The King of Queens, like a gender-flipped version of The King of Queens. And so we've already got an inbuilt audience, you know, the kind of people who love The King of Queens, but also are immediately on board and love gender-flipped anything. They'll go and anything if you flip the genders.
Yeah, people are like, they'll be the female, maybe they'll think they'll be the female version of Patton Oswalt in there. And then the female version of, what's his name? James.
Yeah.
James. There you go.
Imagine if that was your favorite genre of movie was gender flipped movies and don't interpret this as a criticism of gender flipped movies or anything like that, guys. I'm not that guy, but I just think it would be interesting if that was your favorite genre and you didn't even really have to have seen the first movie, you know, the non-gender flipped version to like it. You just love the idea that it's gender flipped, or you don't even realize that that's what you love. But whenever you list your favorite movies, every single one every single one of your favorite movies is a gender flipped movie. And you don't even realize that that is the case. My favorite movies are Ghostbusters 2019. No, it wouldn't be 2019. Probably be way earlier than that now, 2018. Ocean's 8. And
what if you discovered that your favorite movies were all race flipped ones and they were all white remakes of black movies? I think you would feel bad.
If you found out. I think like you would.
That Look Who's Coming to Dinner, but with Ashton Kutcher.
Oh, I love Look Who's Coming to Dinner. Ashton Kutcher is so funny in that film.
I don't know if they've done a white version of Friday.
Boys in the Hood.
Boys in the Hood and Friday. And Once We're Warriors. Such an awful idea. I'm so sorry. Okay.
I mean, would it be called Once Weren't Warriors? Would you change the name?
I think you have to change the name a little bit so that, you know, it's not. You know, it could be something like that, Once We're Warriors, but it's based on, you know, like Anzacs or something.
You could call
like
it
that.
Whites Were Warriors.
Whites Were Warriors.
Look, we don't know what we're saying.
Oh, yeah.
We don't know what we're saying. We don't know what we're doing with this.
I got uncomfortable. Andy, while we've been talking, I just got a bit of a ping. It's been announced that we have become recipients of the Moosehead Award/grant. It's not an award. Oh yeah, it is the Moosehead Award recipients, which means that we will have our show kind of aided by the Comedy Festival, like supported by the Comedy Festival by the Moosehead organization. And you want to hear who else has got it?
Oh, I didn't know that anyone else has got it. Who else has got it?
There's other people who get it. Yeah. There's always usually at least three people that get it.
Oh wow!
But there's more this year.
I'm really excited.
There's Ben Russell and Maggie Luke.
Oh, man, that is great news.
There's Annie Louie. There's Gabby Fantastic. Bolt. There's Danielle Walker. And there's Scout Boxall.
Whoa. What a lineup.
Yeah. So
that's great.
We're amongst some really cool people. So that's very nice.
That is really cool. Thank you very much to the Moosehead Committee. Thank you to everybody who has supported us. And thank you to Alistair for doing the application for the award. And getting us to this point, it is lovely, and that means that we are going to be doing a show at the Comedy Festival next year, and we're going to work really hard on it. So it better be good, or we'll discover that us working hard on something makes it worse, and we, therefore, are the opposite of good.
Imagine if our idea became worse than just a little cloud of ideas in our heads.
Well, that's what reality is. So,
nah, I don't know if I reckon the cloud is insubstantial. It's just a few lines here and there. And anyway, I'm just distracting us from the podcast.
No, I think this is the first time we've had breaking news on the podcast. Yeah. We interrupt your scheduled bullshit to bring you some exciting news.
Yeah, it's very exciting. Very exciting.
Are you going to write that down as a sketch idea?
Wait. What did that? It's the first time that we've ever had breaking news on the podcast?
No, that we got the moose head.
I don't know why what you just said made me think of your. Imagine your partner is in labor, and you know, like pushing the baby is maybe like the head is out, is crowning, right? And it's a regular baby; it's not metal or anything like that.
Sure. It's having a crowning, is what you're saying, as it comes out.
Birth metal. I didn't write that down before, but I had an empty slot and I was trying to remember what it was.
I mean, I don't know that there's much to that idea, but thank you, Alistair.
The baby's half, you know, part of half of its head is out. It's a real intense moment. And you whisper into your wife's ear, a plane has just hit the World Trade Center. It seems like a voice. Do you think?
Oh, I mean, is this too much? But it's the first woman president. Okay.
And, oh, no.
And she's giving birth. She's also the first president to give birth while in office. And
during a national terrorist attack,
yeah,
which is
while giving birth to twins,
yeah,
she is. It is whispered in her ear by her first man, her husband, who is also the head of national security.
Yeah,
which is part of their love story and part of the, you know, what this makes movie. This such a great, exciting moment.
Madam President, which that's what he calls her in technically when they're at work, when they're working, which she always is. I mean, she's doubly working now because she's giving birth and the President of the United States. Madam President,
I just thought of something awful.
Has just hit the World Trade Center. That's the pushing.
Do you think? Can I say this awful thought that I had?
Yeah. Is it any worse than my thought?
Well,
laughing.
Just whenever she and her husband are talking about making love, they refer to it as meeting in the Oval Orifice.
Yeah, absolutely.
Great. Having a one-on-one.
Having a one-on-one in the Oval Orifice?
Yeah.
Yeah. Is an ellipse and an oval the same thing?
Terrific question, Alistair.
Have we been fucking around this whole time?
With ellipses and ovals?
Yeah.
I think oval might be a broader class of shapes.
So like an ellipse is an oval, but an oval isn't necessarily an ellipse?
That is my hypothesis.
Because, so you think that
as we all know, oval, the shape comes from ova, meaning egg.
Mm.
So an egg, presumably, is oval, and therefore, but an ellipse, which I think is more of a mathematically defined shape, might not be,
Would you say that the oval is the rectangle and the ellipse is the square? Sort of, if we were to make parallels, obviously only two of these shapes, only two of these shapes have parallels.
I would absolutely say yes, that an an ellipse is the rectangle of the curvy world.
No, the other way around.
Sorry, the ellipse is the square of the curve of the curvy world.
The curvy world. Yeah. I'm going to just write down.
How many sketch ideas have we got written down?
I'm just going to write whispering into
a pregnant president.
We're giving like birthing.
Pregnant. This is another great alternative history film. What if?
but it sounds like a right wing person's example nightmare. Of what would happen. Yeah. Like why they would never vote for a female president.
I think it's just it would work just as that person as a character describing that nightmare scenario.
Yeah.
And how they think it would play out. Remember when we used to do those characters, Alistair, the confusing the issue characters, those supposedly right-wing people?
Yeah.
That was a different time for us. Haven't done that for a while.
Yeah.
I think our hearts probably weren't in it. But it was a bit of fun. And some of their nonsense may well have informed some of our later work.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I don't know. It was very silly, and I have no problem with it.
Right.
Even though if I feel a little bit uncomfortable watching it now, I don't know why.
Yeah, yeah. Well, that's just progress. Hey, can I tell you something? An announcement that I've got some more breaking news.
Yeah.
This will be a huge relief to the listeners of the podcast that my wife and I are selling our house and we're going to buy a cheaper house. And so this is very relevant because we will have a smaller mortgage and it might be more manageable from a financial perspective. So wow, I wanted the listeners to be the first to know that finally some good news about Andy's financial situation.
Yeah. Of course, Andy's financial situation is bad, but you know he's the only person on this podcast who is in the real estate market.
But Andy
has also said that the new place has one less bedroom. Now, Andy currently lives in a wooden shack in a place pretty far from civilization, and one of the bedrooms that they have already is a closet, and so which you would say is not a bedroom. And so I'm assuming that it's just, this new place is just four wooden walls and you can definitely see light coming in through the wall.
And that's going to save us on lighting, Alistair. So that's another win.
Yeah. And then it's just one big room. Well, I'm not going to say anyway, when I say big, I mean small. And there's going to be one big bed and all of the family members are going to sleep foot to toe in there, sitting up, and they're going to sit there for 20 years.
Did you say foot to toe? So we'll sleep, I guess, sort of in a big circle with our feet in the middle?
That's right. Yeah, it'll be it'll be any shape you want because there won't be a real bed.
Terrific.
It'll just be a blanket or whatever, you know, sort of dry grass you can collect from the outdoor area. If there's any stuff that can grow there.
Nothing can grow there. Don't worry.
But also, I don't imagine that you're buying a place to do any farming or sort of live off of the land.
That is part of my dream, Alistair. Yeah.
But you did say it's going to be on a hill. I don't want to give away too much so that the listeners can find where you live. But do you think that if it's on a hill and the house looks decrepit enough, you will be able to do some sniper rifling from there?
I think that's inevitable. Yeah, there is a dirt road that that passes below the property, and I think that you know a lone hitcher walking along that dirt road, I could probably pick them off with a sniper rifle.
Yeah, great.
And it could become a sort of a bit of an urban mystery. There's a bit of a state forest nearby. They could call it the whipstick forest slayings.
Did you just give away the closest state forest to where you live? Now people just need to find a hill.
Jesus. Oh, no.
With probably a single shack on there.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Andy, your days are numbered, and that's fine.
Alistair. Everybody's days are numbered. That's how a calendar works.
You're right. God damn it, you're right. Yeah, and there's always going to be finite things. Everything within the finite world can be numbered. Do you think if something is a number is part of an infinite number, you don't need to count?
Yeah, you don't need to. There's no point, right? Because it's infinite. I was driving along the other day, and my son Arlo in the back seat said, "Grown-ups say they can't count past infinity, but I can. Listen, 100 infinity, 200 infinity, I could do it." And I thought, that's very good.
Yeah, it's really amazing. If you just use the infinity as a unit, it's quite good.
The ones column, the tens column, the infinities column.
Kids are good at maths. Andy, I'm gonna read us out the three ideas from a listener, because I feel like
three words. Yep.
Three words from a listener. But we could treat every word as an idea.
If I seem a bit distracted, like I'm not totally concentrating at the moment, it's because something is going on with my headphones that I'm using for this phone call, where it keeps connecting and disconnecting from some device somewhere in my house. So every 3 seconds right now, a robot voice is saying connected into my ears, and it is driving me fucking insane. It's been going for about 5 minutes. Just said it again. Oh.
It's really good.
I'd love to go and just see if I can. I'm just going to go and try and turn off the Bluetooth on my iPad and see if that's the problem. Sorry.
Yep.
I can still hear you, though, Al. So just tell me the words.
I'll do a plug while I'm doing this. From a listener, we have three words from a listener called Stuart McCone, a lovely fellow who has asked to be on the podcast numerous times. And it's not through not wanting Stu on the pod that we have not got him on here, but it's through the lack of organization. If you only knew how organization has become, especially even lockdown, it's like I can't achieve anything during the week, and on the weekends I have a little break by achieving even less, right? But Stu has been kind enough to invite me onto their podcast, and it's called The Pointless Reinvention, and I don't think the episode is out yet. It's definitely not. I mean, I looked right before the pod, but if you want to check out Pointless Reinvention, it's a very fun podcast where they take an idea, any idea. I think I saw the latest episode is vampires, and then they try and reinvent vampires in a way so that they are better. Anyway, worth checking out. That's funny. And
I'm back.
Stu's three words, Andy. Do you want to try and guess what they are?
Yeah, okay, I do. Kleptomania.
No. First word is skin.
Okay, sure. Second word, kleptomania?
The second word, I'm sorry, Andy. The second word is not kleptomania. It is that.
And final word, chlamydia.
Ooh, chlamydia. It's close. No, it's kleptomania. No, it's no. The third word, I'm sorry, Andy, is spins.
Skin that spins.
Yeah.
I like this idea, and I like the idea of, you know, this, because you could think of the atmosphere of something like Jupiter as being like a skin that spins, you know, that our bodies could be surrounded by a layer of dense gas. And what is a solid but a very dense gas, but one that does flow around the body? Maybe it even is that the skin and the face with it is slowly, because of centrifugal forces or whatever, dragged around the head, and only, you know, your nose and eye holes, your yeah. eyelids and stuff, only line up with your eyeballs, which are fixed to your skull, once every 24 hours.
Yeah, I like
that.
And then
they slowly move off.
A kind of tectonic plate system. A tectonic plate system on your skin that... So it's just kind of fragmented and slides around during the day.
Oh, just the... I mean, this is a great scene for a horror film, but just that skin just slowly turning on the head and the lump that is the bony section of the nose, you see as it moves across and just now is just poking out through a cheek, and then an ear moves across that that nose region.
Oh, you know what would be cool?
Awful to imagine.
Yeah, but then there's the bit where the ear moves over the eye and you can see out the ear hole for a second.
You'd briefly get a glimpse.
Yeah.
Yeah, do you think it would? Do you think your ear hole would line up with your eye?
I think there'd be a moment.
I don't think it would. I think my ear holes are considerably low. I think they might line up with a nostril.
Considerably lower in what way? Oh,
because
you're...
my eyes.
Oh, you're
They're
just
further
picturing,
down my head.
You're just... Sorry, the reason why there's a problem is that you're just picturing, we're just picturing two different things. Because I said tectonic skin, right? You're just picturing the actual skin just rotating around the body like that, just on the outside.
Yeah.
Yeah, I can see that now. I was picturing the skin being broken up into fragments that just kind of go their own way.
And does blood well up in the cracks in the continental plates like it form new skin, like scab, skin that then cools and forms scar tissue as it moves across the body?
Yeah, I think it definitely increases the amount of horror. The idea that sometimes the skin pushes up against each other and creates pressure, and then blood just squirts out of different bits, like out of a pimple.
Yeah.
That was already sort of under a fair bit of pressure from the pus.
Yeah, so, but then there would also have to be those fault lines where the slabs of skin move apart and the blood oozes up from in between as it does at the rifts.
Yeah, I just kind of picture them sliding next to each other, right? You know, just for it to be just less blood pouring everywhere, but
if it's moving slowly enough, it wouldn't be blood pouring, it would just be oozing, drying and hardening it's making me feel sick talking about it. But that's a sketch idea, right?
Yeah, I mean, this is what, we're really putting a lot of work on the graphics guy too.
What
to make this work.
This happen?
I don't know.
Is it a disease? Is it a syndrome? Yeah. Could it be the next pandemic?
I don't know, but for some reason I picture a CEO having this condition.
A reclusive and CEO?
It can be pretty intimidating meeting the boss. Mm. He's like, well, you know what? I've spoken to a lot of executives. I'm not worried or anything like that. You go, you know what? Michael's a little bit different in that. It's not nothing to be, you get used to it very quickly. It's just a slight condition.
He has something called ptectosis.
Ptectosis. It's sort of spinning skin syndrome.
Anyway, he's got spinning skin syndrome. In you go.
Anyway, his skin should be front facing within the next, is scheduled to be front facing within the next, 15 minutes. So I would go in soon.
Yeah, we try to schedule his meetings based around the most optimal. You know, you won't get as good a meeting, but in about 4 hours, we expect one of his ear holes to be moving across where his eye is.
Yeah.
So you could have a brief.
If it just spun every 15 minutes, spun all the way around every 15 minutes. And so when you walked in, they look completely normal. Right, and then hey, how are you? Very friendly, kind of, you know, very warm kind of person. You're like, I don't know what people were talking about. And then slowly but surely you just see their eyes start to move. And they're,
this is one of the most awful things I've ever heard.
Yeah.
I'm really unhappy about it, but I think it's a thing. And I realize also we've more or less just described the three words we were given.
Yeah.
But I think that meeting the CEO really kicks this over into sketch idea.
Yeah, you think that makes it, yeah. It doesn't quite give us a good context as to, you know, like it doesn't tell us anything more. But, I mean, if it's a job interview, I guess that's, you know, you're really trying to make a good impression and you got to hold it together.
Sure.
And so you got to stop yourself from doing any whoas, like that kind of thing.
Yeah. You know how some people have a lazy eye? Well, good news. The boss doesn't have that.
But oh, thank goodness.
Everything else is lazy. And it just roams around all over his body.
Andy, I think we've taken this episode long enough. So
too long.
Let me take you through all the sketch ideas. We got the radio you can't turn off, simple to use. It's called the Music Cube. Even cube might even be too complicated a shape.
Too descriptive. Yeah, it's a blob. It's a mass. It's an amorphous mass that you can stick to the wall.
Music radio. Not always music. Doesn't always play music.
Music thing.
The music thing. Doesn't always play music. That's my favorite shop. I don't know if you remember me mentioning this to you, but it's called Rice Workshop. And then the subtitle underneath was, not only rice.
Hang on. But it's called the Rice Workshop?
I think so. It's called something like that, Rice Workshop. And then you go, rice.
But Alistair.
Yeah.
Because I don't even know where to begin. That's done something to my brain. Also, I had a caffeinated coffee today for the first time in a long time. Feeling a lot of things, feeling a lot of feelings. What is a rice workshop? And the fact that it is not only rice, I can't, we can't talk about it. We can't talk about
rice workshop.
I'm not in a position to describe my feelings.
Rice workshop, not only rice.
But I don't know what a rice workshop is to begin with. So, you know, I'm already in a territory of having no footing, nothing to hold on to. And yet somehow they managed to make it even more ambiguous by saying that the one thing that I thought I knew about this rice workshop that it had to do with rice isn't even a solid point. Anyway.
Well, it's not all they do. I'm just letting you know. If you were getting concerned, you go, well, I'm not sure if I feel like rice. Well, that's not all we do.
But I don't even know if the shop is the kind of thing where feeling like rice is an appropriate reaction. I don't know if you're eating the rice there.
Andy, no one's putting the name of food in the title of a shop and then not selling food.
Nobody's putting the word workshop in the name of a restaurant. So
I reckon that might not be true. Because I can think of one example, the rice workshop.
The Build-A-Bear workshop.
Yeah. Oh, well, we just eat Build-A-Bears.
This would be a thing. Right. Build-A-Beer workshop, and it's for blokes, right? And you go there, and they let you brew your own beer.
I think there
and
are places like
you
that.
You sit around for 6 months, and then you can drink it.
Yeah. I think there are places like that where you can kind of rent a warehouse.
Yeah, I know, but I came up with the name.
Oh, yeah, Build-A-Beer. Build-A-Beer workshop. But wait, I'm confused. Do you drink the beer there? God, this is... For someone who was saying that we've gone on for too long, I've really found a way to increase this. Tune the Think Tank podcast. Not only think tanks. And we got the birthing metal wife. I don't know why. Mm. It's just crazy. There's not a sketch idea, but it's somebody his wife is giving birth to a lot of old metal. But they seem fine with it. They seem fine. Oh my God. Oh. Like then it's just like an eye beam. Oh, you see the nurse is carried away. How much does it weigh?
Like this that. Is going to fetch just a lot on the scrap metal market.
Yeah, and then it's like, oh, an old radiator. Oh, with that rusty radiator. Anyway, then we got broad-brimmed crown for the King of Australia. It's the there's a possible new origin of a king in this historical reimagination. Reimagining. do you think in order to write a reimagining film, historical reimagining, you have to not use your imagination, but your reimagination?
Yeah, that's right.
Freaky Friday, but with a past self. The preemptive self-revenge time loop.
We talked a lot about this one. I don't think we said anything at all. I don't think we did anything.
No, we did. We said something.
Meaning.
I think it's good. It's like it's somewhere like it's Freaky Friday meets the lighthouse or that lake house. Remember when Keanu and Sandra Bullock were writing to each other through time, through a mailbox that travels through time? I want a backstory on this mailbox. Maybe it's in the film. I haven't actually watched it.
I think it's a great concept for when you can't organize for both the stars to be in the same place. You know, they came up with the scheduling conflicts first, and then they built a concept for a film around that.
That's right. That's actually quite a good idea. You just get some stars' schedules.
Yeah.
Find out when they're
the
open.
Availability based on an original availability spreadsheet.
On a real availability spreadsheet. And then we got tectonic skin / spinning skin, which is just Stu's idea. My goodness. Oh, and it's a job interview. Job interview, maybe. Andy, we did it somehow.
Yes, we did. Thank you so much for listening to Two in the Think Tank. It was great that you did that thing. I think you should follow us on Twitter. I'm at Stupid Old Andy. He's at AlistairTB. We're at Two in Tank.
That's right. And, you know, thank you. Congratulations to all the Moosehead Award recipients. You can buy tickets for a comedy festival show at some point in January, probably. It's called My Client is Innocent. And each word is in inverted commas separately.
Mm.
And it's us as two lawyers who are putting the fabric of reality on trial.
That's
the
right.
Very fabric of reality. But we're basically just defending
the very,
a guy.
Very fabric.
Yeah, and we're defending a guy who's allegedly stolen a hat. You can review us. You can join us on Patreon, and you can join us on the Discord. There's a Discord.
Discord, yeah. It's been a bit of chit-chat on the Discord recently. It's a fun, friendly place.
Look at the notes. The notes will have all the links to things that you want and like. Take care of yourselves. And we
love
you. Bye.
Goodbye.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.